I'm going to just tell you up front, this is out of my wheelhouse. But I felt from the Holy Spirit that I'm supposed to teach on this. We're going to actually see more passages from the Quran than we are the Bible today. But if you're like, well, why are we teaching on this? I want to give you, well, first let me, you know, say what the title is, How Islam Disproves Itself. Just out of curiosity, because I don't want to be ignorant that people aren't educating themselves or may already know some things that I didn't know that you know. Just a show of hands, how many of you have ever heard of the term the Islamic dilemma? Okay, so very few. So then this to me is confirmation that this is what we're supposed to talk about. If you actually go on YouTube and type in the Islamic dilemma, you'll actually find hundreds of videos. And if it's like, what is the Islamic dilemma? We're gonna talk about that today. But basically, is we're going to go through today and show you that how the Quran, which if you don't know what that is, that's the Muslim, what we would call the Muslim Bible. It's their Bible that they believe that came from Allah, which we would call God. It's not the same God. It's a demon. Let me just say that up front. But how the Quran actually disproves itself. And I want to be meticulous about this. Young people, I know that this is, I'm going to try my best to use language for you guys to understand. But it's like, well, why do we need to know about Islam? I'm glad you asked. Let's see why we need to learn about Islam. And we're going to go through these slides. It was funny because Corey's like, I see you have like 24 slides this week. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, they're pretty much my notes that I have to rely on because, again, this is not in my wheelhouse. I know the word inside and out, but I think that this information is valuable. It's in your notes on the app, so if you ever would need this information, if you work with someone who's a Muslim, maybe you have a family member who's converted to Islam, then you can refer to this information in the app and look it up anytime for your notes on April 12th. But let's start going through these slides. Why do we need to know about Islam? Islam is the fastest growing religion on the planet. If this is news to you, it should be shocking. It's the fastest growing religion on the planet. It's also the fastest growing religion in the United States. Now, most of this, especially in the United States, is due to immigration. Also, the reason that it's one of the fastest growing religions is because they have large families, and Americans are killing our children at large through abortion. And Americans in general just aren't having large families. And that's not saying that if you don't have a large family, you're doing something wrong. I'm just saying that when you're a Muslim and you have a large family, then you have a whole bunch of little ones that you train up in Islam. Right? I mean, this makes sense, right? Because if you're a Christian and you have all of your children, how many of you want your children to grow up to be Bible-believing Jesus freaks? Holy Spirit rollers, right? You know, like we use the word fanatic. I'm so sick of that term. Because it's funny, they're like, well, you know, are you one of those Christian fanatics? I'm like, you mean I read the Bible and believe what it says? Like, that's considered fanatical. So in the same way, when people say these are Islamic fanatics that kill Christians, that do all these things, I'm like, no, they read the Quran and believe that it's true. This idea that it's a religion of peace, anybody that says that, they've never read the Quran. So we need to bring, you would agree, right? We're in search of truth. So let's just know the truth. And so we need to know about this because, like I said, it's the fastest growing religion on the planet, and it's also the fastest growing religion in the U.S. Here's some other stats. Christianity right now is approximately 2.4 billion people that identify as Christians. Islam is 1.9 billion. Unaffiliated. Now, unaffiliated, I had to look this up. This means either atheist, agnostic, or you ever heard people say this? Well, I'm not really religious. I'm spiritual. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But they fall into that category. Hinduism is 1.2 billion and Buddhism is 500 million. Let's keep going. By 2050, if the trends continue, Islam and Christianity will be equal in number by 2050. by 2070, Islam will be the largest religion on the planet. So it might be important that we know about these things, amen? Okay, here's a little origin. And again, please, anything that I'm telling you today, there's so much more. I'm just kind of giving you a little bit to just kind of get you to understand what are the stakes, what do we need to know about the Quran. So here's the origin of Islam. God gave the Quran to Muhammad. Now again, I'm not saying I agree with this, I'm just telling you that this is the origin story. God gave the Quran to Muhammad through the angel Gabriel starting in 610 AD. If you notice 610 AD, you are talking about almost 600 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did this over a period of 22 years until Muhammad's death in 632 AD. It was written down by scribes. There's some extra notation in your notes on your app. And the reason it was written down by scribes is because Muhammad was illiterate. He could not read, he could not write, but he claims that he got this message from God through the visitation from the angel Gabriel, and so he had scribes jot down what he said. Here's another thing. It's important to note that the average Muslim does not read nor understand the Quran. The average Muslim. They are taught to reflect on the text. There's some other places that I read is that there are certain texts in the Quran that they use as prayers. You know, in the same way Jesus said to pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven. So they actually recite certain parts of the Quran as part of their prayers. Traditionally, only scholars are allowed to discern the text and instruct the average Muslim. Sadly, this is similar to Christianity at large. Why am I comparing this? Because you guys understand that you can have your own Bibles, you can buy your own Bibles, you can download the YouVersion app and have like 100 translations of the Bible. It's there for you to read and to study and to understand on your own. But most Christians don't do that. They either have like a small devotional or it's like, well, I read for 5 minutes a day. But I'm talking about you have the Word of God at your fingertips, and most Christians are not getting to know their Lord through the Scriptures. And it's in the same way with most Muslims. And so most Christians, whether they would say this or not, they understand the Word based on what kind of church they go to. Now, you guys know here, if I ever tell you something that you look in the Word and I told you the opposite, or it might be like, well, I don't know about this because this scripture says this, I want you to come and talk to me. Because the Word should be true, and if the Word says this and Josh says something else, Josh is wrong. And I have no problem repenting because I don't want to be wrong when it comes to God. And so that's where we need to be as believers. This should be a sad statistic that most Christians don't read the Bible on a regular basis. And they rely on their pastors to interpret it. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying that there might be parts of the Bible that are hard to understand, but at large, you should be able to read the scriptures and the scriptures will come alive to you. Let's go on. The number one, now this part I want you to pay particular attention to because this is one of the things that we're going to debunk today. The number one argument from Muslims concerning Christianity and Judaism is that our scriptures, and when I say our scriptures, I'm talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, have been corrupted over time by Christians and Jews. Apparently they believe we've corrupted our own text. At one time, we had God's word, but not anymore. Therefore, God's true words reside only in the Quran. So when you meet someone who's a Muslim who's serious about their faith, they'll tell you, oh, Jesus is great. He was a great prophet. He did great things. They acknowledge Jesus. In fact, Jesus is written about in the Quran. He's not written about as the Son of God. He's not written about that he was crucified and rose again, and that he is God in the flesh, or that he is the Son of God, or that he is their Savior. They don't write that parts about him, but they acknowledge that Jesus was a great prophet. We're going to see some of that text in the Quran. But if you say, well, if you acknowledge all of that, then why aren't you acknowledging that the scriptures are true? They would say, oh, no, at one time they were true, but they have been corrupted over time. The Quran has not been corrupted over time. Therefore, the only words from whom they would say is Allah or God, we can only trust are in the Quran. Let's go on. So in your notes, if you have the app, I don't have the link up here, but it's in there. You can just click on it. It'll take you right to YouTube. Anybody ever heard of Wes Huff? Okay, good. A handful of you. If you are somebody that needs to be compelled by evidence, historical evidence, textual evidence on the Bible is true. Here's another one. Anybody ever heard of Joe Rogan? Some of you are like, more people have heard of Joe Rogan than Wes Huff. So Wes Huff went on Joe Rogan's program, talked about textual criticism and the Bible and everything. He got Joe Rogan to start to go to church because he showed the evidence. And brothers and sisters, we talked about this last week, that the new generation, the next generation that's coming up, is tired of all of the nonsense going on. They're tired of the political nonsense. They're tired of all of this I feel nonsense. They're like, just give me the truth. And so I believe that we are moving into a time in Christianity where there's so much archaeological evidence that's coming up. There's so much proof that we can, of the reliability of the text of the Bible, that even though some of this may feel a little heady, a little intellectual, we should be learning this so that we can teach it to the next generation, because that's what they're looking for. They're like, if you can just show me the evidence, I'll believe. And evidence isn't a bad thing. You know, let me tell you this. You know, the 11 apostles, they didn't believe until they saw the resurrected Christ. And so why would we think that our faith has to rise to a level beyond the apostles who saw physical proof of Jesus? So is it wrong to look at archaeological evidence about proving Christ, dates, things that have happened? No, our faith should be grounded in something. What was the apostles' faith in? They saw the resurrected Christ, which is why they were willing to die for their faith, because they knew it was true. When he died on the cross, they gave up. And it wasn't until they saw him resurrected is when they went out and did ministry. Does this make sense? So the idea that we just need to have faith in our faith, then I would argue that your faith is better than the apostles' faith, because even they had proof. Does this make sense? Okay. So you could click on this link. It's a 45-minute video. If you're like, well, how do I know that the Bible holds up over time versus the Quran? Again, this is worth 45 minutes of your time to be able to see that by people who can talk way more intelligently about it than I can. But if you don't know who Wes Huff is, you should get to know him, because anybody that can change Joe Rogan's mind and get him to go to church, something Holy Spirit cool stuff happened there. Okay, so today we will see that the Quran actually upholds the scriptures. And specifically in three ways. The Quran confirms their initial inspiration, like when they were given. The Quran confirms their preservation, which is again what we said, that Islam or Muslims try to say, oh, nope, they've been corrupted. It will actually prove their preservation and continued authority for Jews and Christians today. All right, so you ready to go on this journey with me? Okay. All right. So, like I said, we're going to be quoting from the Quran a lot today. So when you see where it says at the bottom, surah, that just simply means chapter, right? When in the Bible, we added chapters and verses, especially in the New Testament, there are letters to churches, right? Or you have the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, but you want to make reference to different things. So people came along and added chapters and verse. So whenever you see, like at the bottom here, it says surah, it just means chapter this, verse this. But that's what they say, so I'm going to use surah. So this is in Surah 3:3. I do want to tell you that in the same way that there's multiple translations of the Bible, there are multiple translations of the Quran. I used three specific different translations because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something in the text. So I want you to trust that I've done my research. And if you don't trust that I've done my research, I invite you to, you know, in the same way you can download a Bible app, you can download a Quran app. You can also do, in the same way anybody ever do Google searches for Bible verses, you can do Google searches of verses in the Quran. So we're just going to go through this. And again, we're building the case, again, for three specific things. For the scriptures, which means the gospel. If you hear me refer to the gospel and the Torah is the Old Testament. The Torah is referred to by Jews as the law of Moses. So when I say the Torah and the gospels, I'm talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. So this is in the Quran in Surah 3:3. He, talking about Allah, has revealed to you gradually, he's talking to Muhammad, this perfect book, talking about the Quran, confirming what went before it, talking about the Torah and the gospel, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So right away in Surah 3:3, it says this perfect book, the Quran, confirms what went before it. So it's affirming the scriptures. And he sent down the law of Moses, or the Torah, and the gospel of Jesus before this as a guide to mankind. Now, can everybody see clearly that the Quran is saying Allah's words are in the Quran, but before the Quran was the Torah and the gospel, all Allah's words. Does everybody see that? The Quran itself is saying that. I'm just going to make sure that we go slow over this because I want you to be able to see it. If you don't see it, then we're going to have a lack of understanding. But it is saying that the Quran is this perfect book, which of course that's what the Muslims believe, but it confirms what went before it. So Allah spoke to the Jews through the Torah. Allah spoke to the Christians through the gospel. Now Allah is speaking to the Muslims, or specifically Muhammad. There are no Muslims yet. Muhammad has to make converts by the Quran. And it says that the two previous things, the Old Testament and the New Testament, were a guide to mankind. In some version, it says they were guidance and light. We're good? Okay, let's go on. Now, here's an interesting thing. The same Muslims that will tell you our scriptures are corrupted say this. Muslims believe that certain passages in the Bible prophetically speak about the coming of Muhammad. So right away, we have a problem with the fallacy proposed by Muslims that the scriptures have been corrupted. Right? Because which scriptures? Do they, you know how we talk about in a joking way that like, oh, I don't like that part in the Bible. We'll just tear that part out. Right? And I'm being silly about it because either God's word is true or it's not. And if it's been corrupted, how do we know which parts are corrupted and which parts are true? Because if there's corruption in part of it, why wouldn't there be corruption in all of it? Does this logically make sense? So if Muslims believe that the scriptures have been corrupted, so you can look up Deuteronomy 18:15-19, not now, later, and Isaiah 42:1-4. Those are just two scriptures that the Muslims believe are talking about Muhammad who is to come, but they're actually prophetically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can you say in one breath, well, you know, your scriptures have been corrupted, and go, well, what about Deuteronomy 18:15-19? Oh no, that's legit. Do you see the problem with this? It's either all of it's corrupted or none of it's corrupted. We don't get to pick which parts have been corrupted and which parts have not been corrupted. So how can a Muslim say that the scriptures have been corrupted, yet they rely on Deuteronomy and Isaiah, and again, I didn't have time to list all of them, that they believe that are referring to the Prophet Muhammad? Because then my response can just be like, well, maybe those scriptures are corrupted. It's illogical. Let's go on. And I want to show you that this is in context as well. We are just in Surah 3:3, so this is the very next verse. Surah 3:4 says this, He, Allah, has revealed the criterion of judgment. He's referring to the Quran. Those who reject Allah's revelations. Now, anything that I have in parentheses is so you know what he's talking about. Did we learn in the previous verse that Allah's revelations are not just the Quran, it's the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? He very clearly says that those came first. So it says those who reject Allah's revelations, so that would include the Torah and the Gospels, and I put Surah 3:3 in there, we just read it, there surely awaits them a severe punishment. Mighty is Allah, the Lord of retribution. So the Quran, the very next verse, is saying about the previous verse, if you reject any of Allah's revelation, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and now the Quran, then there's judgment. Once again, affirming the scriptures that went before the Quran. You tracking with me? Okay, let's go on. Okay, so again, this is kind of sum up. These verses tell us plainly that Christians and Jews should trust the perfect book, the Quran, and Muhammad, because the Quran is a continuation of the previous words of Allah, the Torah, and the Gospel. That's why supposedly the angel Gabriel that's handing this down from God is saying, this is why Christians should trust the Quran, because the Quran confirms the word of God before it, which is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's go on. This is an interesting verse that I want you to remember. Surah 18:27 says this, and recite to these people what is revealed to you of the commandment of your Lord. Again, this is Gabriel giving this message to Muhammad from God. So recite to these people what was revealed to you of the commandment of your Lord, talking about reciting the Quran to them. Look at this. There is no one who can change his words. There is no one, and he's referring to himself, to God. No one can change God or Allah's words. No one. And you will find no refuge apart from him. Now, if you point this out to a Muslim, they'll be like, oh, this is just talking about the words in the Quran. And I'm like, well, that's really interesting because I'm quoting you from the Quran, and it does not say no one can change Allah's words that are in the Quran. This says no one can change his words. Did we not just see in Surah 3:3 and Surah 3:4 that his words include the Old Testament and the New Testament? Right? So no one can change his words. So we'll cover this at the end, but spoiler alert, if no one could change his words, then the argument that the Old Testament and the New Testament have been corrupted completely goes out the window. And if they're like, no, they have been corrupted, then basically I would tell a Muslim, tear this part out of your Quran. It must not be true, if that's what you believe. Or you're disbelieving the words of Allah, and I just read in Surah 3:4 that if you do that, there's some major judgment coming your way. So if you believe the Quran, no one could change Allah's words, then that means that the Old Testament and the New Testament have been preserved. And if you're like, I don't believe that they're preserved, then you don't believe Surah 18:27. Do you see the dilemma here? All right, we're going to go further. Surah 5:43 says this, but why do they, and in context, it's talking about the Jews, why do the Jews appoint you their judge while they have with them the Torah, which again, the law of Moses, which contains the law and the judgment of Allah? So right there, here again, it's confirmation that the Torah is the law and the judgment of Allah. It's the Quran confirming the law of Moses. So the question that God is referring to Muhammad is he's saying, why do the Jews appoint you their judge? Like, why are they coming to you and going, oh, Muhammad, you know, judge between me and my neighbor? And he's saying, why do they need to do that? They have the law of Moses. Let them use that. The Quran is actually saying, you, Muhammad, and the Quran should not be judging the Jews. They have their own book I've given to them called the Torah or the Law of Moses. It says, yet they turn their backs even after that. Again, in context, talking about the Torah. Such people are not true believers. So he's saying, if you are a Jew, if you are a Hebrew, and you are not following the law of Moses, then you are an unbeliever. This is from the Quran. All right, let's keep going. So this is a few verses later. And again, I don't want you to think that I'm skipping around because I'm trying to pull things out of context. Again, you can read all of the context that you want. I'm just saying for time's sake, I'm trying to bring out, again, we're trying to prove the three points. Their initial, the scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, their initial giving from God, their preservation over time, and their authoritativeness today. So this is in the seventh century, and the Quran is saying even all of these years after Christ, we've seen so far that the Jews should still be following the law of Moses. And how many of you know that the Jews that did not convert to Christianity are still following the law of Moses to this date? Right? Because that's what we talk about here. We're not under law. We're under grace because we are in Christ. We're Gentiles who have been brought in. We're not Jews. So Surah 546 says this, and we, and when it says we, it's not talking about the triune God as we understand it, because it's talking about God gave to Gabriel and Gabriel gave to Muhammad. So when it says we, Gabriel and Allah sent Jesus, this is in the Quran, sent Jesus, son of Mary, in the footsteps of the prophets, fulfilling the Torah which was revealed before him. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. I do want to say, like, a little bit of a side note here. Cults, modern Gnosticism, and Gnosticism was something that was going on in the first and second century, which is basically like this, I'm enlightened, I know something that you don't know, and you need to come and study under me so I can give you this enlightenment. The cults do this too, is they give you breadcrumbs about Jesus. Enough breadcrumbs that you will believe that they are for Jesus so that you will come in, and then they will give you what the Bible calls another gospel, which Paul calls no gospel at all. This is exactly what's going on in the Quran. So it's naming Jesus by name. So it's saying that God sent Jesus, son of Mary, in the footsteps of the prophets, fulfilling the Torah which was revealed before him. Again, the Torah was first and then the gospel. We gave him the gospel, which contained guidance and light, fulfilling that which preceded it. Well, what came before the gospel? The Torah, the law of Moses. So it's saying that the Torah was guidance and light for the Jews, and the gospel was guidance and light. Jesus has the gospel for the Christians. And the Quran itself is saying all came from God, all came from Allah, fulfilling that which preceded it, which was revealed in the Torah. Next. Now, this is the very next verse. And let the people of the gospel judge according to what Allah has revealed therein. Well, therein what? The gospel. So remember a few verses ago, it said that, why are the Jews coming to you? Let them judge by the Torah, the law of Moses. And now it's saying, let the people of the gospel, which would be Christians, judge according to what Allah has given them. So he's saying, Jews, this side is Jews. Jews, you judge by the Torah. You judge by the law of Moses. Christians, you guys weren't as excited over there. You judge by the gospel. This is in the Quran. Those who do not judge according to what Allah has revealed, so Jews, it was revealed to you the Torah, and Christians, you were revealed to the gospel. So those who do not judge according to what Allah has revealed, if you do not go by the gospel, if you don't go by the law of Moses, it is these who are the defiantly disobedient. We've now seen this twice, that Allah is saying, I gave the Torah to the Jews. I gave the gospel to the Christians. They need to judge by it. They need to live their lives by it. It's guidance and light. They need to follow it. The Quran is instructing Jews to follow the law of Moses. The Quran is instructing Christians to follow the gospel. Oh, and by the way, if you don't do this, in the previous chapter and verse, it said that there will be judgment. This, it says that you are defiantly disobedient. And that's what I put a note here, the same instruction to the Jews in Surah 543, that they should follow the Torah or the law of Moses. Here's Surah 568. This is the instruction to Muhammad from God through the angel Gabriel. O people of the scripture, you are standing on nothing. Say, standing on nothing. You are standing on nothing unless you uphold the Torah, the gospel, and what has been revealed to you, which he's talking to Muhammad, the Quran, from your Lord. You are standing on nothing unless you stand on the Torah, the gospel, and the Quran. He's putting them on an equal playing field, which even Muslims don't do because they say our scriptures have been corrupted. And yet the Quran itself affirms it. Let's go on. So we're wrapping up here. So here's the dilemma, right? Like I said, if you go on YouTube, type in Islamic dilemma, you can watch hours on this stuff. So here's the dilemma. If Jews and Christians have the inspired, preserved, and authoritative, it has to be all three, right? It was initially inspired by God. It was preserved over time, and it's still authoritative today. If Jews and Christians have this, which is the word of God or the word of Allah, then Islam is false. Well, wait a second. Why would Islam be false if it's affirming the scriptures, and it's saying the Quran affirms the scriptures, then why aren't we just reading the Quran alongside of the Old Testament and the New Testament? I'm glad you asked. Because the Quran has an answer to this. Let's go on. Here's Surah 4, 157a. A just means the first part of the scripture. Because the Quran has affirmed the scriptures, their preservation, right? No one can change Allah's words. So why is the Quran false? So this is from Surah 4, 157a. And further saying, talking about the Jews. Indeed, so he's saying that this is what the Jews said. Indeed, we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. That's, again, if you ask a Muslim, well, who is Jesus? He's the messenger of Allah. So it says that the Jews said, we killed Jesus, the Messiah. Now, I do want to point out something interesting here. Did the Jews believe that Jesus was the Messiah? Right, because if they believed he was a Messiah, they wouldn't have killed him. So right here, we have a problem. Well, we don't have a problem. The Quran has a problem. Islam has a problem. Because the Jews, if they, that was the whole point. It says, we have in John chapter 1, he came to his own, but his own rejected him. His own did not know him. It's talking about the chosen people of God, Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews. And this is saying that the Jews said, we have killed the Messiah. They would never have said something like that, because if they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, they would have crowned him king. But they killed him because they believed he was a blasphemer. They believed, well, he's calling himself God, and he is not the Messiah. So it says, indeed, we have killed Jesus, the Messiah, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. The other thing is they wouldn't have called him a messenger of Allah. They did not believe that he was even sent from God, which is why they killed him. Is this making sense? I don't know if your silence is shock or if you're just like, man, this is mind-blowing. This is in the Quran. And look what it says. So he's quoting what the Jews said or what they believe. And then he says, and they, so this is the words of supposedly Allah God to Muhammad, and they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but rather it was made to appear so to them. So the Quran is saying the Jews claim that they killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of law. They crucified him. But guess what? That didn't really happen. They didn't kill him. It was just simply made to appear that way. What does that mean? The Quran denies the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Kind of a pivotal thing for Christians coming off of Easter, amen? Paul so much says it, he says, listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if the dead are not raised, then let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's nothing after this. We're just going to become worm food. He's saying, if there's no resurrection, if the dead are not raised, if there's not going to be a judgment, if there's not going to be, we're going to get to be with the Lord someday, then just live however you want. It doesn't matter, because all this stuff that we're preaching about and talking about is untrue. And if it's untrue, then why are we even talking about it? Let's just live however we want. And if that beginning of that verse, it intensifies here. Look, this is 157b, so this is the latter half of that verse, Surah 4, 157. And indeed, those who differ over it, basically talking about there's some conjecture, are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except their assumption. So again, the Quran is implying you assume Jesus was crucified. You assume that he rose from the dead. But then it says this, for certain. Everybody say for certain. These are the supposed words of Allah through Gabriel to Muhammad. For certain, they did not kill him. Anybody believe that this contradicts the gospel? How many times does Paul talk about we were crucified with Christ? We were buried with Christ. We rose with Christ. And when we come up out of the baptistry into new life, we live as Christ. Paul said to live as Christ, to die is gain. Paul's basically, again, talking about if there's no resurrection, then what I'm doing is pointless. And by the way, if there is no resurrection, then why am I being, persecuted for all of this kind of stuff? So the Quran says for certain they didn't kill Jesus. Back it up, one verse. This clearly says they didn't crucify him, but it just looked that way. Well, how convenient. So can you see clearly that the Quran emphatically denies the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Christ? You can actually read in other parts of the Quran that basically like, oh yeah, it was just made to look that way to people, but basically Jesus just automatically ascended into heaven. Like while apparently people were watching an optical illusion that Jesus just, he left, according to the Quran. So when I say that if the Christians and the Jews have the inspired word of God, which is what the Quran says that we have, then Islam is false. Why? Because the Quran says that the scriptures are true. If the scriptures say that Jesus died, he was buried, and 3 days later rose again, and the Quran says, that didn't happen, then if the Quran authenticates the scriptures, then the Quran is false. Does that make sense? If it's saying the scriptures are true, then the Quran is false. Because the Quran is saying something different than the scriptures, and that's not the only place. But I just figured I'd bring up the key text, right? Our whole faith is based on the death, burial, and the resurrection. The resurrection in particular, because after the death and the burial, the apostles are like, mission's over. But when they saw the risen Christ, they're like, the mission's on. And they went out and changed the world. Okay, let's go to the slide after Surah. Go back one more. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because I don't have written notes up here. I know that I'm relying a lot on the screens today. Okay, so go ahead and go to the next verse. So if Jews and Christians do not have the inspired, preserved, and authoritative word of God, Islam is false, right? If we don't have it, the original statement was, if we do have it, Islam is false, right? Because the authoritative scriptures say Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. So if the Quran authenticates the scriptures, and we have the authentic scriptures, then the Quran is false. So if the Jews and Christians do not have the inspired, preserved, and authoritative word of God, then Islam is also false. Why? Next verse. Remember this one? And recite to these people what is revealed to you of the commandment of your Lord. There is no one who can change Allah's words. So that's what I'm saying, that if we don't have the inspired word of God, then Islam is false, because the Quran says that we do have the inspired word of God. Now here's the thing. Let's just say that this verse wasn't in there. Even though it is. But let's say we side with Islam on this and go, oh, this is just specifically talking about the Quran. And they say the Quran is true, but the Torah and the gospel has been corrupted. Well, I'm not going to serve a God who has a very good track record of preserving scripture. So bear with me here. Allah gave his word to the Jews. Corrupted. Okay. Allah gives his words to Christians. Corrupted. Now Allah goes, I'm giving you the Quran. Trust me, this will never be corrupted. One of the examples I saw in one of the videos, that's like a heart surgeon being like, I'm a great heart surgeon. You should come to me. Oh, have you done heart surgery? Yeah, I did it twice and both patients died. But trust me. Right? That's what it's saying. If all three sets of scriptures, the Torah, the Bible, and the Quran, if they're all from Allah, Allah is batting 0-2. Right? The Torah was corrupted. Those were Allah's words. The gospel was corrupted. Those were Allah's words. But trust me, the Quran has been perfectly preserved. Why would I trust God to preserve the Quran if he can preserve the previous scriptures? Oh, by the way, which he's telling that the Christians and the Jews should rely on. Do you see how, if you actually read the Quran, how insane this is? How it contradicts itself? But again, it's like, well, then why isn't everybody leaving Islam? Because the same reason we don't have radical Christians, because they're not reading the Quran in the same way the Christians aren't reading the Bible. I'm sorry, I know that that's harsh, that sounds judgmental, but it's a reality, because the Bible says you will know them by their fruit. This is why we need to know the word. So what is the conclusion of all of this? If the Quran is true, right? If we have the inspired text, then Islam is false. If the Quran is false, then Islam is false. I know some like doing a double take. Wait, they're both false? Right. Yes. Again, let me explain. If the Quran is true, which it upholds the Torah and the scripture, then Islam is false. Why? Because the Quran upholds the scriptures, but the scriptures talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the Quran said, nah, that didn't happen. So the Quran is false. Islam is false. If the Quran is false, if they have false texts, then of course their religion is false. Was this clear? I'm going to see a show of hands, because if I didn't make it clear, I want you to come talk to me afterwards. You need to know this again. Why? Because whether it's now or in the future, if trends continue, you may have a family member who is Muslim. You may work with a Muslim. And here's the thing. Most of those people don't even know the Bible. And with this amount of information, most of you now know more about the Quran than the average Muslim. But in the same way that we're looking at this for truth, we need to be doing the same thing when we study the scriptures. This is why we need to know the scriptures. And when I say the scriptures, I'm not talking about the Quran, because we basically just debunked that of being a completely false book. So what does that mean? What did Muhammad get from God and Gabriel? He was listening to demons. Because it contradicts the basic tenet of Christianity, which is what our hope is in, right? Paul talks about my hope is in the resurrection. Because our hope is when one day, when we shed, the Bible calls it this mortal coil, this flesh, then we're going to be with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.